We continue with our study of Ecclesiastes 6. Last week we were talking about HDB flat and work, right? And I think it's always a challenge to see how to see God in all the things and all the circumstances of life. And I think that's something that we want to constantly seek to learn and to be able to place God in all the circumstances of life. Okay, and I think that's so important. Okay, well, let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for your word. It's through your word that we can understand a bit more about life and how to exercise faith with a right perspective of how we should see the challenges of life. And we just want to pray that you will bless us as we continue our study from the book of Ecclesiastes. May you continue to enlighten us to your truths. So bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we talked about how, the idea of not being satisfied with the things of life, the wise and the fool will both die the same kind of death. Even though we are poor, we can still have a good life. And we talked about what it means to be, it's better to focus on what we have and to be thankful rather than to have the wandering of desire. Okay, now we go on to the last part of chapter 6, and we come across this very interesting statement. Now, in verse 10, this is what Solomon wrote. Whatever one is, he has been named already, for it is known that he is man. Now, there's a lot of things packed into this just one verse, right? Whatever one is, he has been named already, for it is known that he is man. Okay, what do you think this means, right? Whatever one is, what do you think it is? Straight off, whatever one is. Not that one is one, whatever one is. But what is whatever one is? He has been named already. He has been named already. Named already? Given the name? Well, what does that mean? Interesting, isn't it? This very interesting statement. Whatever one is. Okay, what do y'all think? Ready for some discussion? Whatever one is. He has been named already, for it is known that he is man. Interesting. Okay. Whatever one is. Whatever. Any words? Any suggestion? Whatever one is. Whatever one is means? Don't look at your notes. I never give you the answers in the notes. By now, you know the notes don't actually do a lot of... I write out the whole thing, then I minus, 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 then I give you the notes. Okay. Yesterday, I was at this change of command for Yu Chai. You know it's Yu Chai? So Yu Chai is a lieutenant colonel in the army. And he's doing well. I think he's a scholar, right? Is he a scholar? Some kind of a scholar, you know, army scholar. And Matthias was with him. He was sitting next to me. He's your brother-in-law. Okay, brother-in-law. And so he is now in charge of a submarine. Okay, and the submarine's name is Endeavour, is it? Impeccable. See, I forgot the name. impeccable. Okay, there's another one called invincible. Invincible, impeccable, and then two more. What's their name? Yeah, I can't remember. There are two more names. Something starting with N. Invisible. Anyway, he is now in charge of this submarine. And, okay. And you know, he has done well in his life. So how do you see that? How do you see this idea? Whatever one is. Okay, is this fate? Is this fate? Is Solomon talking about fate? You know, it's fate, right? Fate means you got no choice. Fate, this is. So, I mean, some religions believe in fate. Everything is fated. You got no choice. Everything happens because it has been planned. You got no choice. You can't escape it. That's your fate. Is that what Solomon is talking about? What is he saying? Whatever one is, he has been named already. Anybody want to try? Just go ahead. Whatever one is. So he realized that he's getting a bit deeper in his thoughts. Whatever one is. Want to try? Beth? Go ahead, just try. No wrong answer.
Whatever place in life, it has been named by God already.
Whatever?
Whatever place in life has been named by God already.
Yeah. Okay, so what does that mean? Yeah, I know it's in the notes, but what does that mean? You're born with, whatever you achieve, is it fate?
I don't know about fate, but I don't know, maybe something like God's foreknowledge.
Okay, there's God's foreknowledge involved, but it has already, he has already been named, right? He has already been named. What does that mean? He has been named already. It seemed like, you know, everything's planned. You know, you're destined to do these things. That's your destiny. That's... How do you see this? And then he goes on to say, for it is known that he is man. So you got a tree, you got to read all three together. What is he trying to say here? What do you think? Yes? Want to try?
I think it's more about like God is the creator and we are his creation, so we are named by him.
Okay, so when, we are named by him. Named by him means what?
We are created by him.
Okay. More than just created by him.
I mean, like, when we know about him, then we'll know about, like, what is a man.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let's try. Let's keep going. Want to try? Yeah, gee. Try, just try. No problem. Brian's not here, so don't worry. Come on, let's go. Let's discuss. Yes? Yeah.
It seems to suggest that you have, like, maybe, like, in terms of how is it similar to fate, maybe, like, I guess you already God has a plan for you, it is set. And then so the last line, when it says that man cannot contend with he who is mightier than man, lah.
Mm.
That just says that God has a plan, it is a plan for you, and if you want to deviate from sin, you can't do that, because ultimately there is a higher power than you. So in that extent, it is quite similar to fate, because fate suggests that there is a path set out for you. And
so fate, okay, let's define fate. What is fate?
It's meant to be.
Fate means you got no choice. You can't change anything. That means if you are born poor, you will always be poor. Fate is, you know, everything's been planned. You can't change destiny. You can't change any of your status. You are born with this. This is what you are. This is what's meant for you. Fate. So is God one who promotes fate? That's why I'm raising the issue. Is this fate?
So you're suggesting that it's not fate because there is choice here?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just asking you. I'm leaving it to you to discuss. Right? Let's go. What do you think? Just go ahead. So what is he trying to say? I'm more concerned about what is he trying to say? Is he trying to say fate? Or is he trying to say some things are fated? Some things you can't change? What is he trying to say? We come to the next part. Don't focus on the next part. Settle the first part first. Because if you don't settle the first part, then the next part, you're going to find problems. Okay, say for example, recently we know of someone who, you know, Shuin's daughter, right? Emma passed away. 1 day old. Is that fate? Was it meant to happen? Or this morning, we met with all the special needs parents. Wow. So they all shared, when we first found out about our children's condition, it was really, really tough. They didn't plan for it. Did God plan for it? You see? How do we see all these things? How do we work these things out and navigate through life? He's helping us to see a perspective of things. Because if it's all fate, then there's no point. There's no point working hard. There's no point trying to do anything in life. Because is whatever fate, that I guess that's what a certain religion outside, that's what they advocate.
Why do you consider past? Like, I guess I'm looking through the other versions of, other than NKJV, I'm looking at NIV and
yep.
ESV. It suggests that I think whatever has happened, whatever one is,
okay, work on that some more. Sure, he has to do with something in the past. So, okay, let's talk about a person's life, right? Some of us are born poor, some are born in a rich family, right? Each one's different. In other words, there are some things you are born with, okay? We are born with some of the things. You can't change that. That I won't consider this as fate, but I call this as God's purpose. There is a purpose behind it. Right? It's part of God's plan. Because the moment you can say it's part of it, but I'd rather not use the word fate. I'd rather use the word plan. Okay? Because with the moment you use fate, you got no choice. Okay? This is our lot. So I would rather use the word, this is our lot in life. There are some things, some of us more intelligent. I mean, that's very obvious. Some of us more intelligent, some of us less intelligent. I consider myself less intelligent. Right? That's what I'm born with. I'm born in a family. My parents, my mom is not, you know, high IQ. My dad, same, you know, just scraped through school kind. I'm born in that family. That's my lot in life. Some of us are born in a family, parents, you know, have done well in life, different. Okay? That's our lot. We are born with, you can't change this. We are limited in a certain way. Can you see where I'm coming from? But it doesn't mean that life has to be confined by these things. You can still excel. You can still find wisdom. You can still do well in life. Right? It's dependent. So that's why I don't consider it fate. Because if you bring God into the picture, you can do well in life. But then along the way, there are also certain things that can happen in life. Like, for example, disaster, death. These things come along. These are the harsh realities of life. You cannot say, oh, God planned all these things. It's hard to explain some of these things. These things come. It is a result of sin. That's why he goes on to say that we are men. The idea of man tells us that we are limited. We are limited in our understanding. We are limited in our ability to overcome certain things. Limited. Man is finite. Man is not infinite. Man is finite in his understanding. There are some things we cannot understand. Can you see that? But it's not fate. You see where I'm coming from? Because the moment you say it's fate, then man has no choice. Right? But yet, there are some things that we are limited in. We cannot be able to discern everything. Man is physical. Man is temporal. Man limited in what they can do. But God has named certain things in life. God has planned certain things in your life. God has planned man to be such. So we can't go beyond that. You follow? But it's not fate. Because the moment you say it's fate, then you got no choice. But God does give a choice, right? We can still enjoy life. We can still have a good life. We can still extend. We can still grow. We can still be wise. I'm not smart, but I can learn to be wise. The big difference is that I learn to be wise. I don't need just intelligence. I have a certain amount of intelligence. Sure, I can build on it a bit more. But you know what? The one that I'm really focused on is wisdom. That makes all the difference. Can you see the difference here? Okay, let's stop for. Do you understand where? Yeah, go ahead.
So when we say whatever place in life it has been named by the Lord, is that true? Because if you can excel and you can gain wisdom, then by definition you can sort of change the place in life that you have at the end of it.
Yeah, so in the end, your station in life can be changed. So it's not fate. But yet, there are certain things that you can't change. Like, okay, some of us, I don't know, can you increase your memory? Can you develop your memory? Maybe, if you know how to go about it. Right? But if you just don't use all the memory skills and all, but just by yourself, we are limited in a certain way. Am I right to say that? We are born with it. That's your station in life. Right? That's why Lee Kuan Yew wanted, you know, more people to with degrees to marry each other. Why? Because he has smarter people. Right? That's his plan. Correct. Genetically speaking, that was his plan. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the definition under point one of whatever place in life refers to the lot that we are born with, and that has been named already, and we can.
And what you have become.
And okay, so it's what we, our lot in life, and our past.
Yeah, what you have become.
But not.
He has been named. In other words, he has planned certain things, purpose. I mean, I'm a pastor today, right? Did he plan it? Yes. Did he plan some of you to serve in a certain way? Yes. Did God plan laying to be a treasurer in Bethany? Definitely. I see that as a godsend, man. Thank God for Auntie Laying and Lee Hong. I mean, you don't have them, you have a big, big problem. I mean, they are godsends. Thank God for Pastor Mark. I mean, to me, he is also a godsend. Thank God that he also are called to serve together. I really appreciate having a brother, real brother and spiritual brother beside me. I mean, you can see that these things are all planned in life. That's your position. And yet there are some things that because you have sought to choose to follow the Lord, you have developed. But then there are some things also, that's your position in life. You follow? If you are born in Elon Musk's family, you got don't know how many children, 10, 20 children, I don't know. They are set for life. That's their lot in life. They are all the billions in the world. This man has what? $700 billion. You know, he wants to start his own American party. Someone said he's going to take about $1 billion and maybe 10 years to establish it. He has, what, $700 billion? He has the money to do it. Yeah.
Like, so for example, if you use the example of like Auntie Laying,
yeah.
Like, whether she becomes a treasurer of the church, like, it's a product of many things, including like her choices. Like,
yeah.
If she didn't study accounting,
sure.
Chances are probably won't be
definitely
a treasurer, right?
Yeah.
But these are things that are within a person's control.
Yeah.
But then the things that, like, for example, the family you're born into, that's.
You can't control.
Out of your control.
Yeah.
So when he says, whatever one is, he has been named already. Is he referring to things which you can control or things which you
both
cannot control?
Both.
But if it's something that you can control, then why is there something that has been named already?
Because that's God. That's how God planned it. Right? That's how God planned it. Whatever a man is, whatever your station in life is now,
yeah.
That's what he's trying to say, isn't it? Right? Whatever place in life you're born with, whatever you have achieved, wherever you are, that's your lot in life. Sure, you can still climb the ladder in life. You can still develop. But you are already given certain things in life. You can't change that. I wish I can change the way I studied last time, especially for Chinese. I wish now I can be very fluent in Chinese, but I can't. That's not what I'm born with. Right? I wish every time when to me, that's my greatest desire, is every time I talk to the Chinese-speaking brethren in Chinese at SSP, in my broken Chinese and sometimes English, I wish I have that fluency of Chinese that I can explain to them wonderful, deep truths from the Word of God. But I can't. It's gone. If I had understood this when I was younger, perhaps, but now I can't. And I'm not a language person, right? We are born with certain abilities. Some are very good in languages. I'm not. You see, we are limited by that. That's your law. That's the way, you know, you are very good in reasoning things out, right? As a lawyer. No. Well, that's your gift. That's what you are born with. You like to argue. Right? Well, that's, you have done well in your life. That's your gift. My gift is to be a pilot. None of you are pilots. But that's my lot in life. I've done well being a pilot. You see, it's different. All of us are different. That's your lot in life. That's what you are born with. But what you do with it, that's the difference. You follow? Let's settle this first. Are you all very clear? Yeah, go ahead.
So to clarify, yeah, is not whether you...
That's why it's not fate. I'm saying that it's not fate at all. Because fate is that you have no choice. You understand? You can read this as fate. That's what I'm trying to say. You can read it as fate. Correct? You got no choice. No. That's why we got to read this very carefully. That's why the qualification that he is man, that's very important. He's trying to say that at the end of the day, whatever we are born with, whatever the Lord is, you're still a man. You're limited. That's what he's trying to say.
Sorry, but so you are saying also, like, it's not whether we cannot choose or whether we can choose. It's just whatever has happened in the past is this name thing. Then whatever happened in the future is...
No. Yeah. When I say whatever is name, means God has a purpose plan in our life, isn't it? Correct? Whatever is name. Your name, as in your whatever you're born with, whatever you have achieved. Right? It's your, yeah, whatever you achieve, whatever you achieve, but whatever you achieve is what you have purpose in life. Okay, for example, whatever I have achieved, I'm a pastor today, right? Has it been named by God? Yes. Yeah, of course, because it's me. Yeah, but it's his purpose, his plan. You cannot say it's not my God's plan for me, what? Correct or not?
I think that's...
No, what I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, it's not fate. That's, you understand or you agree, right? Yeah, that's my point.
We all agree that it's not fate.
It's not fate, because then the moment you say it's not fate, then there must be choice and development, faith must come in, God's blessing. You can still choose, right? That's what I'm trying to say. But it's still God who named this. It's still God who planned this to some extent. In other words, there is the dynamic plan of God. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not fixed. And yet, as you look at all these things, there are some things that happen in life that we don't understand. That at the end of the day, we must realize that we are just men. Because there are some things that happen in life that, why, you know, okay, let me just share with you. Years ago, there was someone in church. She had 5 miscarriages. 5. And finally, she said, okay, enough is enough. I don't need children. But the motherly instinct to have a child was very, very strong. And finally, she had to realize that's not her lot in life, to have a child. 5 miscarriages. That's life. That's the harsh reality of life. Can you see where I'm going with this? Ultimately, we are men. How to understand these things? How to see all these things in life? Isn't it unfair? Here's a family three children, all healthy, growing well, developing. Here's a family, one child, special needs. Isn't life unfair? This is where the next part comes in. Okay? He cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. 6 verse 10. That is where the next statement comes in. He is mightier than he. Men, so in other words, men try to be like God. That's the problem. Where we try to figure everything out. Okay? And people, and very often, so one of the things that a lot of the mothers or the parents, when they have special needs children, the first thing is, why God? Why? Why this? Why that? And, you know, maybe it's not special needs, but it can be other things. No promotion, having sickness, issues in the family, all the different types of difficulties in life. Then people will ask, very often they will ask, you know, someone was also asking, if it happened to me, it's fine. But I've been praying to try to reach out to this family and they seem keen, but, you know, they kept having problem after problem after problem and problem. And this person was just so affected by that. I'm praying for them and yet God doesn't seem to be answering their prayers. My prayers for them. You see, it can be anything. It can be even another person's family having problems. Not your own family, but other people's family. And the person is asking, why? Why is God like that? Why is God allowing this to happen? Why now? Evangeline was sharing about the daughter, Olive. And when something bad happened to her, okay, something happened to the husband, okay, la, still can. What happened to her is okay. But when the daughter is involved, no, and she, you know, morning service, she said, why? You see, we all struggle. I mean, I appreciate the honesty, but it tells you that all of us struggle when there are times, when there are issues that we cannot understand. And people begin to ask why. And when you ask why, very often people tend to contend with God. You are almost fighting with God. And the reality of the matter is that we cannot contend with God. Why? Why can we not contend with God? Obviously, He is far wiser, far more knowledge, far more understanding. He has far more power and strength. He has far greater plans and will. He is eternity. We are finite. His character attributes far greater than any human being. His works far greater. He's in every way far greater than us. Who are we to question God? I mean, I'm sure some of us in our life, we all have questioned God in one time or another. Why this? Why that? If it's not you, why this happened to this person? Why that happened? I think when you come to a certain stage, many of us, okay, Lord, if you want me to suffer, I suffer. It's okay. For myself, it's okay. But for others, why? Why this? Why that? Why? And then you can see in some ways, some wisdom that Solomon is trying to bring across that we cannot contend with God who is mightier than us. Okay. Mic. Who has the mic? You want to ask something, is it? Over already. Can ask again.
Do you think that this is really a saying of wisdom given the context in which it was said? So the statement itself is true, obviously, man cannot contend with God.
Yep.
But how you say it matters also. For example, if you say in humility, in reverence, like for example Isaiah 40, who is like his counsel?
Yep.
That's said in a reverent tone.
Yeah.
But this is, if you read, for example, 10,
the next part,
12.
Yep. Yeah, he's still struggling with it.
In the context of that, it seems like he's saying, why try so hard, you know? I'm not even going to be able to outpower God.
Sure.
So it's almost said in a, or at least the tone
is. In a very dismal way. At the end of the day, it's still a very dismal outlook of like, who are we, the contents?
It's like, I'm resigned to this fate that I'm never going to be able to overpower God.
Yeah.
And I'm like complaining that I'm not happy with it, that I can't change my... that's the tone that I get, lah.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the truth of the statement is...
It's there. I mean, it's true. It is true.
It's a true and a...
Yeah, it is true.
But I think the spirit in which he's saying it is wrong, so...
Absolutely. I agree.
It's like...
I totally agree.
And like,
Yeah. Very dismal. So, okay, the next part he says, since there are many things that increase vanity... How is man the better? Right? So as he comes to terms with who God is, he looks at life, and he seems to be contradicting, isn't it? There are times when he say, isn't it better? It's good for man. Is it not better for man to just enjoy the good of his labor, to do good? He has really mentioned it many times, right? But now he, once again, he says, vanities of vanity. For who knows what is good for man in life, all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? So now he's talking about the future. For who knows what is good for men in life? I mean, earlier he said, what is good, right? Correct? Earlier he said, he wrote a few things, what is, nothing's better for man and soul to eat and drink, to enjoy the good of his labor. So we will go in, we'll plan for the ladies to, we haven't had our meal, right? Our dinner, the guys ready, we ate ready, so sorry. Then ladies, we will plan for dinner, wanted to do it before the holidays, but couldn't. Now we'll plan, right? He said, okay, good. To for his soul to eat and drink, to enjoy the good of his labor, to do good. But now he says, for who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life. You're right. It's very dismal.
So, I mean, just to... in verse 7, verse 11, he says, there are many things which increase vanity.
Yeah.
Is he saying that the fact that he cannot contend with God is what... leads to vanity.
Yeah.
Which is quite...
So there are many things that he cannot come to terms with. Right? So because he cannot come to terms with these things in life, he's angry, he's upset, he's dismal. But he cannot contend with God.
And because of the fact...
He cannot question God.
So then he sees it as vanity.
Yeah.
Which is quite wrong.
Yes, of course. Definitely. Right? So he seems to be saying something wise, which we all agree, and yet at the end of it, you see that he's still very dismal in life. And now he's talking about the past and the future. So he looks back at life, it passes like a shadow. To him, life is like a shadow. But then on the other hand, he looks at the future, he doesn't know what's going to happen to men. So Solomon cannot accept what is reality as he sees it. That's the point. He cannot accept this reality. That's why he's struggling with this. His past, his future. No one knows his future. Again, there's this dismal view of life. Okay, any questions you want to ask? Yeah, ask all the questions.
Vasnavich, in verse 10, right, when he says whatever one is, he has been named already, this is with reference to everything, like past and present and future.
So he's basically talking about, okay, let's just say this is a point of time in a person's life, mm-hmm. right? Whatever he is, mm-hmm. that's his life. That's his lot in life. That's something that God has partly planned, mm-hmm. partly how the way you have worked it out.
So not to do with his future.
Sorry?
Not to do with his future. Like, is it not true that the future is also named already?
Yeah, of course. Yes, okay, the so future it's everything. Is also there. It does okay. include the future.
Then what about the things that are in our control, but not in line with God and his word? So sin, basically.
Yeah, sin, yeah. deviating, straying from the Lord.
All have been named. All have been named already.
No. I mean, God knows everything. His foreknowledge, he knows everything. But does God plan you to sin? No.
Because we were saying that, so like as in whatever one is,
yeah.
is inclusive of, like how you get to where you get to does include all those things. Right?
Yeah, but he's not naming everything. So that's why it's called a dynamic will. Mm-hmm. In other words, because if God planned everything, including everything you do, then you're robots already. Right? You're no longer, that's fate already. You got no choice already. No. You still have a choice. That's why it's called a dynamic will. There's a plan for you, and yet how you work it out, there's a plan. Yeah.
I guess because youth worship, we're learning about the plan that God had for the children of Israel. So would it be something because at first God didn't want them to rebel, but they still did because that's in their human nature. Yeah. But regardless of that, God still found a way to reroute them back to, it was still within his plan. So
yeah,
he couldn't
sure.
control them to.
Yes, of course.
Way.
Obviously. So there's choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? There's choice involved. There's a dynamic will involved. It's whether you follow or you don't. Right? But ultimately, his overall plan, yes, is for the people of Israel to get to the promised land. By hook or by crook, he will bring them there. Same thing. I mean, for us, with reference to Christ, first coming, second coming, that's not dependent on your choice. That's is in his plan of salvation. It's already been planned. Correct?
But whether you come or
not. Yeah, that's your choice.
Your choice.
But it's also part of predestination too. God's involved. So right. Wow, okay, we don't go into that. Okay. If not, next week we'll still be here. But one day, if you want to, we can still, at the beginning, 2:45, 1:45, you start, okay, then I can explain to you. Now, cannot really.
So let's just say, listen, within this context, right, this person who doesn't come to Christ, where whatever he is has been named.
So there are parts in terms of his life. For example, his lot in life. Where he's born, how much he wants to achieve, there are certain things, yes.
But currently where he, in this point in time, he does not know Christ, has not come to Christ.
Yeah.
That has
but then maybe there's a plan for him to come to know the Lord later on in life.
But where he is now has been named.
No, but the thing is, wherever he is in life, that is where he chooses to be, right? He has made the choice. That's how he has worked out his life. Maybe he has not fully understood where he should be in life yet. Yeah.
So at this point where he doesn't know where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Is it also...
Okay, let's talk about salvation. If he's really safe, one day perhaps God has planned it, but maybe he's 18 years old, maybe God planned that he, come to know him at 32, but 18 years old...
But that would be the future, really.
Yeah.
But then this verse, you mentioned is only from the past, that point in time.
So in other words, so at the end of the day, when you look at life, so does it include So at this point of time, let's just say, okay, for Solomon, he's come to a certain stage in life. He has come, he has understood, he still struggles with it. This is his lot in life. Okay, let's take it from Solomon, because he's the one who wrote it, right? He has been given a lot of things, he has been blessed, he has fulfilled the will of God to build the temple of God at this point of time. Right? Let's just agree with that. Whatever a man is, he has already been named. But then he also struggles with all the problems of life. That at the end of the day, he's still struggling that he's but man. Which one? Well, I mean, whatever God planned him to achieve, that's been named. But what you go through, and if you are straying from God, that's the dynamic will. That's part of God's allowing you to have free will to choose how you want to live, and including sinning. But God doesn't plan us to sin. Right? God doesn't plan you to sin. You choose to sin. You are responsible, not God. Because the moment you plan, you say that God chose Solomon to sin, then he has no choice. It's fated already. Yeah, yes. There are certain things that we are born with. That's why I explained first. You are born with these things. It's your lot in life. He planned it to be such. Do we agree or not? Right? Okay, then the next stage, whatever you achieve. If you do well, if you bring God into the picture, as Solomon did, he asked for wisdom. God gave him the wisdom. He fulfilled God's plan for his life. Right? And he could have done more. But then he started marrying all these strange wives, foreign wives. And then he began to deviate. You follow?
So even in that sense, what you achieve in life is not fully within your control. It's not fully within your control.
But it's what God planned for
in
you.
In the sense that, yeah.
Because I mean, God planned for him to build the temple of God. Yeah. That's what he achieved, right? That's what I mean.
Like for example, Moses, when he brought the children out of Israel,
he leaded them,
but it was always God's plan that he would never see the land.
Yeah, but you don't know about that. Because he instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. Then that was punishment to him that he will not go into the land of Canaan. So, but if he did not strike the rock and he spoke the rod, could he have entered the promised land? We don't know.
So at the point before,
You can't, because we really don't know. Maybe we don't know.
So at the point before you strike the rock, how do you apply this verse?
That's why I'm trying to tell you, you cannot apply this like that. You got to apply it from the standpoint of Solomon's life. Okay, that's why what I'm trying to say, as you look at this, we totally don't agree with this line, right?
We only...
Because the moment you say fate, everything's planned, including the sin. That's fate. You understand? Agree or not?
So we look at it at the end of life, lah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say, when he wrote this, lah. Because the moment you try to place it all at different times, then it is a bit hard. I'm not saying you can't, but it's very hard to try to say.
Maybe for clarity, like when we say that it has been named already, is it synonymous with that God has intentionally planned this, or that God?
So God has planned certain things in your life.
Yeah, like, but is it more foreknowledge or planning? Because if we say that God has
both,
the foreknowledge,
I mean, foreknowledge and planning is the same thing. When God does something, he does everything together.
No, but as in when, like, God knows that we are going to sin, but he doesn't plan that we are going to sin. So, like, that's different, right? Like,
yeah.
Then, so that doesn't make it fate. Because if he knows that we are going to sin, it's different from him planning us.
Yeah, sure.
So, named means know, or name means plan.
Plan. Whatever he planned for you, yeah.
The full grand scheme of things,
Yeah, then what are we arguing about? Okay. Clear?
It's because I think we do a distinction between past and future. So if you apply that at random pockets of time, then it's,
sure,
it's very,
then it's a bit hard,
it's very confusing. Like for example, the children of Israel who were in the wilderness, they'll be like, is this what God named for me? Can't be what? But if you look at it from like with the benefit of hindsight, then it becomes very clear, like, oh, okay, okay, it is named. But yeah, so
okay, how clear? Everybody, I don't need you to leave here being very confused. How clear? Matthias, how?
I don't know what about.
Confuser. Okay, let's go on to, okay, how should we see this with reference to, you know, God's plan, with reference to how life is so frail, how do we see, you know, it's like a shadow, how do we see the future, how do we see God's plan in our life? How do we see even the idea of life itself, that we are but men, that men should not contend with God? I think the challenge is, okay, let's turn to Psalm 90. Maybe we see from this psalm, perhaps it will help a bit more. Because we are talking about God who is far greater than us, right? So let's accept that from the very beginning. So Moses wrote this, the man of God. He said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generation. Right? And so the idea of dwelling place is like a refuge, a place where people go and, you know, they meet with God, the presence of God. They worship Him. He's their refuge, dwelling place. That's the idea. Okay? Through all generations, from the generation of Adam. See, I almost forgot who God created. Adam, till today. Okay? All generations, God has always been. In other words, God is eternal. Let's start with that. That God is eternal. He has always been there. He is the one who created the universe. He is the one before the world was created. He was already there. Right? In other words, what is man? So if we compare ourselves with God, I mean, so he begins with the eternity of God. Right? God is eternal. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting, everlasting, you are God. God has always been there. Okay? Then he goes on to say, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years, in other words, when God wants to call you home, you got no choice. Right? So for baby Emma, her life on this earth is just one day. It's tough, but yet that's the reality of life. Right? That's God. He has a plan for everyone. From either you live here, 1 year old, 10 months, 1 year, 2 years. I've seen people pass on across the broad. 11-year-old, 15-year-old, 25-year-old, 30, 40, 50, every stage I've seen people pass on. Anytime God can just call you home, right? For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, it is past, and like a watch in the night, you carry them like a flood. Right, recently in Texas, was it Texas? There was this group, there was this campsite, and then all the children were carried away in the flood, and they all died. You carry them like a flood, they are like asleep in the morning, they are like grass which grows up, In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and evening it is cut down and withers. So Moses has seen enough death, he has seen enough life to realize, you know, how life, the man that you compare God with men, the brevity of life. So on the other hand, you see the eternity of God, but then on the other hand, you see the brevity and the frailty. Of man's life. Who are we? Who are we to contend with God? Who are we to speak of how we are wiser than God? God can destroy man. He can ask man to return to God. A day in his, to him is like 1,000 years to man. A watch in the night. How do you understand that? Right? Carries them away like a flood, like a sleep. Like grass. Grass, they grow in the morning and then it's gone. Right? Then we see the wrath of God. Okay? We see the wrath of God. Men can be consumed by his wrath. For we have been consumed by your anger, by your wrath. We are terrified. You have set our sins. So now here we see the problem of sin. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath, we finish our years like a sigh. So you notice, you know, I mean for Moses, he noticed all that past generation. We talk about the old generation of Israelites. They all died one by one. That generation, that rebellious generation, every one of them, they all died in the wilderness. Even don't have time to bury them. He saw that day after day after day after day. I mean, that left a deep impression on him. Our secret sins in the light, for our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives, 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80 years. I'm 58 this year. 60, 70, so I got another 13 years. If I'm strong enough, I reach 80 and maybe beyond. But you look at the obituary, average age that people pass on, 80. 80 to 90, that's the age range. Sometimes 90-something, sometimes 60-something, 70, but most people, 80-something, that's it. Once you reach 80, you know, prepare to go home. That's life. Right? Yet their boast is only labor,
very similar. Because that's what life is. Life is filled with labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you is your love. So as he looked at all these things, as he looked at life, he looks at God, he looks at his wrath, he looks at how short life is, how brief life is. So he responds. And first thing he did was pray for us. So teach us that we may be in other words, what he's trying to say is to make every day count. Number your days. In other words, tomorrow will be one day. Monday will be 2 days. 3 days. 4 days. Teach us number. Number your days. Count your days. Count down. Do count down for exam. Do count down for get married. You do calm down when the baby comes. You do calm down, but actually to us, we should do one calm down before we die. In other words, live your life with the end in mind. Calm down. Calm down. Come down here. Ask the Lord to teach you how to live to have heart. So you notice what he's asking for? He's not asking just for wisdom, he's asking you for heart. There's a difference between having more wisdom and having a heart. You can have a lot of wisdom but not a heart of wisdom. The challenge is to have a heart of wisdom that you may have a heart that chooses wise. Each day that you can call people to live life. Right? At the end of the day, you will have an argument with just bring across faith, whatever the Lord, whatever you're born with it. At the end of the day, what really matters? It's how you make every day count. So I decided to cut a number of days. Every day I'll write down what I like. I will be, I think through. I want to make every day count. I try to live my life as if it is my last. If I were to die tomorrow, come to a stage in my life, I want to make every day. You don't know when God calls you. Sure, you all seem healthy, we all are healthy before the Lord. But you know, anything can happen to us. Jerry Young was studying in university, next moment she has cancer. Search you. 25 years. Went for a run. Emma, one day. And she's not the only one. I went to a funeral once, a burial, and then we were walking around to look at all the different groups. Similar. One. Born, next day. Every day. Make every day count. That's the point he's trying to say. Make every day count. Now, how do we do that? Pray for mercy. Right? Return, O Lord, how long and have compassion on your servant. Oh, satisfy us with your mercy. You know, we are trying to find satisfaction in life, right? We talk about satisfaction, contentment. What is it that will bring satisfaction in life? God's mercy. Satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Why? Because he saw so much suffering. He saw so much people dying. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. In other words, God allows affliction in life. God allows problems. Partly because of man. Man's sin, you know, we all can blame it on Adam. You know, because man's sin, there will always be affliction, there will always be problems in life because we have a depraved mind. We are all sinful. That's why affliction comes. That's why disease comes. That's why we all have difficulty. And he says, you know what? That we can find joy. The years in which you have seen evil, let your work appear to you. So now he prays for wisdom. Secondly, he prays for mercy. Sometimes we don't realize how much we need for mercy. Have compassion on your servant. Right? And then the next part he speaks. You know what? Let your work appear to you. In other words, God, you do your work in your servant. Your glory in their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Right? The beauty part is God's work
God's mercy, God's grace in our life, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish.